Hey, oh yeah, the batteries are
alive.
They're alive.
I'll close the door. And
who did you come out here to see?
Swank?
No, I'm not related to them.
You're not related to them.
No, this husband has two brothers. All three boys came up here.
I see.
There's Harold and Albert and Harry. Mm-hmm. And Harry came first in 1934, and then went back to Seattle and tried to find work. You know, it was depression. And so we decided to come back to Anchorage. So he came back in 1935.
I see.
And looked for work, you know. And his youngest brother, Harold, and his girlfriend got on the boat and were married on the boat by the captain. And they came up and followed him up. And I stopped in Juneau. He came up steerage from Juneau.
Oh.
No, it was not steerage, but...
Did he work his way?
No.
Not a stowaway.
Stowaway.
He was a stowaway.
Mm-hmm. From Genoa. Ooh. Uh-huh. And once they're on board, you know, they can pay the steward $5 and they'll take care of them.
I see. I see.
So anyway, he came up with nothing, like most of us did. And he got work on the, with Alaska Transfer. And then... with the railroad, Alaska Railroad, and then sent for me and our son. He was 8 at the time, so we came up on the old Victoria.
Now, you were in Seattle,
uh-huh,
and was that originally your home?
Yes, that's right.
And the three boys were all from Seattle?
They're all from Seattle.
I see. Mm-hmm. So that you grew up in the Northwest area,
mm-hmm,
lumber
mm-hmm.
industry?
My parents were missionaries in China for 7 years, and I lived in China when I was just a year and a half, you know. Came back when I was 8.
You did? Uh-huh. I'm curious where you were in China.
Oh, Chin Champu, and it's a red China. It's north of Shanghai. I couldn't tell you exactly. I just really wouldn't be able to tell you exactly where
it is. What kind of missionaries were they?
They went over as a Free Methodist minister under the missionary board. But then they broke away from them and on their own and started an orphanage.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. And they were only going to have boys. But there were so many little girls left on the street, you know, and on the graveyard, just alive, barely alive, that they went ahead and with prayer got the facilities and the money to build three buildings, boys and girls, dormitory, and then the main one for the missionaries and their help. And they had a school and really did real well, but my mother's health broke down. And they came home on a furlough, intending to go right back, but the doctors advised them not to. And so then they went into missionary work right in Seattle, in the slum area, you know, and worked there. But my father was a jeweler by trade. And so he worked for an old, old jewelry firm in Seattle. They're not even there anymore. They went out of business. But they were an old family, Hanson's Jewelry. I know that they're in the old records of Seattle. They would be very high-class jewelry. Mm-hmm. I guess not society jewelers. Mm-hmm. But I remember going to different homes, the wealthy people, you know, in North Seattle. And because my father worked on clocks, that was what he liked to do the best. And I suppose that's where I got my interest in clocks. This clock behind me, the school clock, was in my school.
Oh.
And my sister lives in Seattle, and she heard that Lincoln High was going for electric clocks. So she asked if she could get one of the school clocks, and this is from the study hall.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And it really was running beautifully until about 6 months ago. And there's a piece of it that's worn out.
It has to be repaired.
And so the clockman, there's a man here that has a hobby of fixing clocks. He's retired and it's a hobby. And he sent for the piece and it's going to be repaired someday, you know, someday. So I enjoy it. I like to hear the clocks. I think it makes it more homelike.
Yes, I was aware of the... of the ticking of this. This mm-hmm. isn't a grandfather clock.
No, that's a grandma clock.
It's a grandma clock.
A grandma clock. Grandma's kept their clock in the kitchen, and the shells were for their spices, you know, or favorite
isn't that
pieces of china or cookie jar.
I can
jar.
See. I'll have to have a grandma clock, because that's one of the few big clocks I've seen that I felt, you know, really would...
I like it, because I would love to have a grandfather clock. Mm-hmm. I never did. I would have loved to have had one. But can't you just picture this in those old-fashioned kitchens? And grandfather having his big clock in the entry hall. Grandma with her clock in that big kitchen.
Yes.
I can just picture it myself.
But yet it has a nice click.
It's pretty a tone as that one. Now that came from a old home in Seattle. And one of those large homes that have the kitchen way downstairs and made quarters down there, you know, just a real old home. Well, in fact, it was Emard Cannery. Remember the Emard had cannery here? Well, it was a home that they bought from, or the his foreman, Olson, Tom Olson, bought the house from Emard's. And they found this clock left upstairs in one of the hallways.
That was in Seattle, didn't
it? That was in Seattle. And they gave it to me. They used to come up every April.
Well, Mrs. Swank, you came up. Now, tell me, which one of the Swanks was your husband again?
Harry.
He was Harry. That's
uh-huh. And he has a brother, Albert, and a brother, Harold.
Yes.
And both brothers are here.
I see.
And
but Harry was the first one who came.
And he's the oldest.
In 34.
You said.
Mm-hmm. And so he came up, he stowed away.
Uh-huh.
And he went to Juneau first?
Yeah, they stopped at Juneau, you know.
And then came on to Seward.
Came on to Seward.
And then mm-hmm. on up here to Lake Region.
The first time he came up on the old, Discovery. It came right up the inlet.
Oh.
Came right up the inlet.
Cook Inlet here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Got off at the old city dock.
Uh-huh. I see.
Uh-huh. But, at that time, he had been talking to some men, you know, downtown and about Alaska. They were all mining men. And that's what he wanted to do, go into mining. Well, it never came to about at all, never did get into go into it. And of course it didn't, no money, couldn't do anything, you know. So the main thing was to find a job to keep himself alive. And I was working in Seattle then at the welfare office. And I was with them for 5 years. So, but of course, when he sent his tickets to come up here, well, we came up here and liked it right away.
What did he do as soon as he got here? What did he do to go to work in the mid-30s? Which was
well, he I know he went to work for Alaska Transfer whenever they, you know, the boats came in, you know, to Seward, and then they
yes.
came up on the freight came up the railroad. Then they had to have men to unload the freight. And also now, like with the Discoverer, it would bring freight up. Mm-hmm. And they have to have longshoremen.
Well, he eventually went into business for himself, didn't he?
Oh, he went into plastering. Plaster contractor.
I
with
see.
With Mac Mortensen.
I see. So then
but
when
after he'd been with the railroad for 12 years.
I see. That was in the later 40s.
Uh-huh. And then he, when my son grew up, he went into business. He bought out Van Sporting Goods.
Oh.
And he, had him married and a Kansas girl in Emporia, Kansas. Brought her up as a bride and a little, had his first child. And you see, he was killed the December before the earthquake.
Your son?
Uh-huh. In a plane accident.
I see.
And left five little children with a wonderful, wonderful mother. I had the nicest daughter-in-law anyone could possibly have.
That's a joy.
It is. She's a joy. She's everything to me. Just everything. And five grandchildren. She's just done beautifully with her children.
And how old would they be now?
Well, the oldest is 23.
Oh.
Then 21, 18, 16, and 13.
Well,
that's she works uh-huh. and keeps herself very well-groomed. She's a professional model, too.
Oh,
she works for Atlantic Richfield.
I see. Well, she has a... the charm, too,
sure
and the ability
does.
To carry herself.
She
into
sure
the
does.
Business.
That's a wonderful girl. And takes real good care of me.
When you came here in the 30s, Anchorage was just 10 or 20 years old than the citizens. I think they subdivided officially, had a survey in 1914 or something. But then the railroad was built in the early 20s, and that's when Anchorage began to expand a little bit in the 30s.
I came up in 35, or 36 rather, 36. March of 36.
I see. Well, you came in the spring. And how did you come?
On the old Victoria, by boat.
Victoria.
That was called a cattle boat. I guess it had been used as a cattle boat at some time. Not up to Alaska, but I don't know really where it went.
They weren't carrying cattle on it from you?
No, they weren't. No, it was a passenger boat.
My husband and I came down the, I said for years, I hadn't done any camping, and I was just hungry to get out and go camping this summer. So we got ourselves rigged out in a little tent and sleeping bags and took off. So we stopped in a campground up out of Tolk, and it was one of the state campgrounds, a real nice, pretty little place. And I saw a horse, so I was intrigued, and I went over, and in the campground, here was a couple with a great big horse van, and two horses. They were not riding horses. They weren't Percherons, like Belgian something. Belgian,
I don't know anything.
Some
about
kind
horses.
Of, but they were a big workhorse, two big workhorses. Mm-hmm. And they had two or three goats, and they were beautiful long-haired goats. Different looking animals. They weren't ordinary white goats.
No.
They were gorgeous animals. And a bunch of poultry and other kinds of livestock. They had just come up on the ferry.
Oh.
And so further down the road, we mentioned they were heading for Kenai Peninsula. They were going to go around on the open, the Prince William Sound side, toward Kodiak, and try to settle there.
Oh.
They were from Maine. But further down the line in a lodge, we were telling some people in the lodge, the proprietors, about them, because we were kind of tickled about their having come up on the ferry with this great big...
with all those animals. Imagine that.
And there was a woman in the bar there. Well, you know, the big room, how the houses are. The corner was a bar. And apparently she lived there and helped attend the bar part of the time for the roadhouse. She lived nearby. It was up on the old Tok cutoff. But anyway, this was at Mentaska Lodge. And she had just come back. She was standing at the bar, but she walked over when she heard our conversation. She said, "Well, I just got back." She says, "I was on the ferry they were on." And she says, "They offloaded that van and aerated the..." Aerated it at every port of call. But it had a clean barn smell. It wasn't a bed. But we were sure laughing.
Well, that would be... Never thought of that ferry breaking up.
No, but people were still coming to South Alaska.
Well, there were no animals as far as I know.
Not on the Victoria in the 30s.
Victoria.
Did you come up through the Inside Passage and make all stops?
No, Inside Passage. We made every stop because it was in March and they were getting their oil and supplies. Every cannery, every little village, town, they had a dock where we stopped. It was wonderful. It took 7 days.
Oh, that is nice.
Oh, it's a marvelous trip. I just love it. I just wish we would have boat trips again like that.
Yes, I wish we did.
But, and I had no idea what to look for at all. And I remember stopping in Sitka, I meant to say. Sitka, and we walked around, my son and I, you know, he's 8 years old. We walked around and stopped in and had a piece of pie. And here was a can of milk on the table. A can of milk.
Yes, it was, I remember this.
And that just floored me. I was so surprised.
What a shock.
It was a real shock to see a can of milk. Of course, living in China, we were used to canned milk. And that part didn't bite. We never would put it on the table that way. My mother was very...
I can remember here in Anchorage with all the little coffee shops.
Yeah, with a can of
milk. They got a can of milk on the table. That's right.
And that was really... I was real surprised. Then I know that when we landed in Seward, and we went uptown to get something to eat. My husband met us, of course. And here we sat at a counter. Of course, the cans of milk on the counter.
They had a little gadget. They'd poke it right down in the can that made a pouring spout.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't just a hole in the can that you poured out, but a little fancy pouring spout out.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd forgotten about it.
So then my husband met us, and we took the train then up to Anchorage. And he was staying at the Parsons Hotel then. And Mrs. Parsons, you know, was so good with the bachelors, all the men that were at the hotel. And on any special day, why she'd have him for dinner. He was a wonderful host.
Do you happen to know anything about the story of the Parsons, how they came through?
No, I have no idea.
That was certainly a landmark for so
yes.
long.
Yes. Who would... you should talk to Mrs. Landstrom Johnson, her name is now, but Mrs. Landstrom. That's Evelyn Martin, Dr. Martin's wife. Evelyn is a Landstrom girl, and Mrs. Donatello is a Landstrom girl too, and they would know all that because they were very good friends with Mrs. Parsons. Her daughter and they all grew up together.
I see. I will pursue that.
You do that because they could tell you. They were raised here, you know, so
yes.
They really know all the old.
The earlier
days.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, the details of the earlier. Now, you spoke of the Emards also. Mm-hmm. Were you acquainted with the Emards?
Yes, I knew them. Not well acquainted,
not extremely
but I knew them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I went down to the Emard cannery a couple of days ago, where it used to be.
Where it used to be, uh-huh. But we became very good friends with the Olsons that ran the cannery for Emards.
Oh.
Tom Olson. And we were very good friends with them, theirs. In fact, they stayed at our apartment when we went out. And, we visited back and forth in Seattle, too.
Are there any people up here now who were acquainted with the fishing industry?
The fishing?
The early cooking and fishing.
A cooking and fishing. Oh, I'm sure there are. I'm trying to think who would be fishing.
Well... go on and tell me some more then about your own experiences after you arrived here in Anchorage. Now, how was housing at that time?
Well, it was difficult. We found a house that belonged to the Keeleys, and on off of 3rd on K Street, two little houses just alike, and we rented one of those. You see, it was $25 a month. But you see, Mr. Swank was only making $100 a month.
In 1935?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my, how we just scaled.
Yes. And then he got a job at night running the projector at the Empress Theater. See, that was before the 4th Avenue Theater. It was just the Empress Theater.
And now, of course, the Empress was a show place, wasn't it, when it was number one?
Yeah, it was the only one. Uh-huh. And he got a job running that, and so we've been real good friends with the Rainers, who were in charge of them, and the Hills, of course, that were he was the Laser Company then. And
now Miriam Dickey, she didn't marry Harry Hill later on.
No, Mr. Ray, no, Elsie was his wife.
Elsie Hill was his wife. Yes, there was Mr. and Mrs. Hill, wasn't there?
Yes, Miriam married. Wasn't it Dickie that she married, or was that her?
No, that was her maiden name.
I don't know. I didn't know.
Yes, she was Cap Lathrop's secretary and traveling companion
yes,
for so
yes,
long.
She was.
But that was her, I believe, her maiden name or whatever. But then,
but that's all you
died,
knew her. It was her. Miriam Dickie's the only way I knew her.
Yes.
But I don't know whether. Oh, I imagine Elsie is in town. I haven't heard from her, so. But Elsie Hill would know, could tell you all about that end of it. And then her son is here. Donald Hill. He's president, I believe, of the Laser Corporation.
Yes,
they hold some of the high office since his father's death.
Yes.
And you see, he and my son grew up together.
They
were at the same age.
Yes.
So I knew Donald all his life too.
Yes.
And when I came up. We ride on the train, you know, on a Friday. That's when the train bell always came up from Seward on Friday. And I went to church on Sunday. And Monday I had callers. And Wednesday night I was in the choir practice.
That quick?
That fast. And Lorene Harrison was the director.
Yes.
And she, of course, there were more in the choir than there were in the church service many times. Many times it would be that way. They didn't have at that particular time a regular minister. We had a Moravian missionary.
Yes.
Spoke for us. Spoke preached to
the Methodist congregation?
No, it was a community
church.
But with the Presbyterian board.
Mm-hmm.
See, the Methodist board sponsored the church in Seward, and the Presbyterian Board sponsored the church in Anchorage.
I see.
And I don't know who sponsored it in Fairbanks.
Well, there is a strong Presbyterian church, and there is also a strong Methodist and Episcopal, but the ecumenical movement has brought the Episcopal and Methodist church together.
Yes.
And they hold joint services. Quite a bit of time, but there are the two churches.
Well, when we came, there was just the three churches, the Catholic, the Episcopal, and the Presbyterian Community Church.
I see.
Or Community Presbyterian Church would be the way it went.
Well, those are the three churches. I really don't know.
Well, those are the three churches. And so I went to the Presbyterian, or the Community Church, you know. And I still belong to the Presbyterian
Church.
And
you were in the choir within 3 days after arriving. Well, you might say you belong.
Yes. It was so fast. I've never been in a small town, so it was very interesting. I enjoyed it very much.
Oh, my goodness.
Because people were so friendly and quick to make friends, you know. And every occasion, man, a party. And I know my birthday was in July, and Norma Hoyt had a birthday surprise for me. Norma Hoyt's a landmark in Anchorage and Fairbanks both.
I've tried for about a week to call her, and her phone is either not answered or busy.
She was out.
I haven't been able to.
She's home now, because she called me just Friday, I think.
I see.
She comes out.
I will yet call her.
Yes. Oh, it was real interesting. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, she is.
And you can really get much information from her.
Yes, I will.
You must talk to her. And Lorene Harrison's another one.
Well, Lorene Harrison's another one, yes.
Yes, she's very good. And you know, she's right over here at the University Center.
No.
She has her shop there.
Oh, she does? Uh-huh. Well, now, what did you do? Did you work in town at all?
I had a shop.
You had a shop?
What
was your shop?
The art and gift shop. It was right next to the Empress Theater.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I worked for the lady that bought the shop, Elsie Shield.
Yes.
And she was from Hope, and her husband was in mining.
I see.
And I took care of their two little girls while they were, and for them to go to school while they were at the mine. Well, she developed cancer and passed away, so I bought the shop from him.
I see.
And so...
because I couldn't remember. It's been a few years for me since I've lived here in Manchester.
Sure.
But I knew that I connected with you with a business.
Yes, I had an art and gift.
Yes, and that was a
lovely years, and enjoyed it thoroughly. But, you know, I'd been hurt right soon after I was married. And so it began as giving me trouble as I grew older. I finally had to sell the store.
I see.
And but in the meantime,
injuries are dreadful things to have to deal with.
Yes. But I met so many wonderful people in the shop, and to this day, people will come up and say, "Oh, I remember you in our gift shop, or you taught me how to knit, you showed me how to crochet, or you know, doing things like that." And it's interesting to have people greet you and all like that.
I think you helped my mother to knit a sweater. I'm sure you did. She knitted a beautiful little beige sweater with cables down the front, and she kept running back down to the store.
Yes, we had knitting classes.
Did you have knitting classes?
Uh-huh. And I hired a lady to teach knitting, and she was Roma Wilcox, and she was the daughter of a real old pioneer here. Her name was Scott. Mrs. Scott. She's a she was quite active in the bowling team here, and I was the oldest bowler. And they took her out, I know, to a big convention of bowlers down south, and she was in her 80s.
Is that so?
Uh-huh.
She didn't bowl in her 80s.
Yes, she did.
She did.
She did.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And but anyway, her daughter, Roma Wilcox, was a knitting instructor. Oh, I showed people how before I had a class, you know. But I learned knitting after I came up here. And it was interesting, the things, now, the Women's Association in the church used to do quilting for outlying villages, you know. And so I learned how to do quilting, and I became acquainted with so many people that way.
When you say for the outlying villages, what do you mean?
Well, like up in Nome and Kotzebue, Darrow.
They would send the quilts? Uh-huh. They would send completed quilts to mm-hmm, people in the villages?
We had missionaries, you know, that the church did, and they would let us know what they needed, and the Women's Association would try to fulfill that need. That was kind of, and you became acquainted with many, many people that way.
Did you go into any of the outlying areas?
No,
did you get out of
I never did.
No. Mm-hmm.
Fairbanks and Circle was the farthest away I went.
Did you took the train up to Fairbanks?
Uh-huh, took the train, that's right. I had to stay all night, you know, at Nenana the first time.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at one time that people stopped overnight at Curry.
Well, I meant Curry.
You mean Curry.
I say Nenana. I meant
you
Curry.
You mean Curry.
Yeah, in Curry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You stayed all night there.
Tell me, what was it like? And that was such an event to so many people who stopped over there, but I really don't know. I stopped there and ate when I took the train up the first time to Fairbanks. And
well, it was just fun, I know. Yep. And then we'd take a walk around. I remember having to cross the river on a swinging bridge. Uh-huh.
It was a one-way thing.
One-way thing.
That was the Susitna River there, I think.
Yes, I think it was.
And you had to walk across or something.
Uh-huh, and the swinging bridge, and it was a nice little, almost a park-like on the other side, as I remember. And there were, you know, groups of us that go. And then we'd spend the night in Fairbanks. And then have to take the train back.
How did you go on to Central?
And then we went by bus up to Circle Hot Springs.
I see. Was that an excursion? Was that a group excursion from Anchorage, or was that just a...
There were just two couples of us that came up, you know, like that. And I know we went two or three times. And the last time we went was the end of World War II.
Oh.
And it was declared then, the surrender, Japan surrender.
It was a bit of celebration.
And it was a bit of celebration.
You were here through World War
II. Oh, sure.
How did it... of course, I came up after the war. How did the war affect you here in the city of Anchorage?
Oh, well, you know, we had to have blackouts. We had to have keep our lights out, you know, during the evening. They'd send word to whenever they felt that it was going to require a blackout. We'd have to do that.
Lots
of soldiers, of course, in town. And that's when they quit the line, you know, because the military stopped having a line for the prostitutes. So, and see, that people would say, well, they didn't know what they were living, who was next door. It could be a prostitute, didn't make any difference, of course. But
yes,
but
yes.
That was,
where was the line here in Anchorage?
C Street and 9. C Street was the dividing line. And they went up to as far as 9th Avenue.
In other words, everything east of 9th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly C Street.
C Street.
But mostly
C Street.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Would they have extended from 4th Avenue?
From 4th up to 9th.
Mm-hmm. Along C Street.
Uh-huh. Along C Street.
Well, and then were these individual... Let's see, were these little cabins... Now, in Fairbanks, there was one street that was more or less contained,
yes.
And there were many little cabins facing on one street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on...
most of them faced C Street.
They faced on C Street,
mm-hmm.
I see.
But they ran up to as far as 9th.
Not as far as 9th.
I'm not sure if there was many... I think this probably started on 5th Avenue and up. We lived on H, so we didn't, and working there, down that way, we didn't get in contact with them. I had customers, I knew who they were, and they were lovely girls, just real nice girls. I liked waiting on, I didn't even know they were prostitutes at first, you know, until they were pointed out to me, but they were very nice girls in my little hall. And they liked to do handwork.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. They really did, and they did some beautiful pieces. Needle point, you know, and embroidery, knitting, crocheting, and they come down and study the books and learn.
Did you ever hear any of these girls remark as to how they had come to Alaska
or make any reference
to their past at all?
No, they didn't talk about it at all.
They talk about their personal lives.
No.
It's interesting. In Fairbanks, there are stories of some of them. One girl went down to Nenana when they had a major flu epidemic and nursed the people who were
pulled them through. I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm. And,
not a bit surprised.
There was another one who married a very respectable businessman.
Oh, many of them did.
Is that? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that is true.
I know I heard that when I first came.
Well, this woman was admitted. She had been a practicing prostitute there in mm-hmm. Fairbanks. But when she married this local businessman, she was accepted into the... I think he was a... It wasn't an elk. It was a moose or one of the groups that was active mm-hmm. in Fairbanks by an animal.
Sure.
Name. Eagles, maybe.
Eagles.
Whatever.
Well, no, the eagles are the young...
I don't know. Moose, maybe.
I'm trying to think if it was a... If that was a... What was the young elks?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. Now, there's an Eagles Hall in Fairbanks, and I think that is an organization of... similar to the Elks or something. Mm-hmm. At any rate, I believe it's the Eagles because it's a strong old kind of a fraternal mm-hmm. organization mm-hmm. of the men. But the wives of the Eagles or whatever they were, they accepted this woman because mm-hmm. they knew mm-hmm. that she had left her ways behind.
Sure.
And
I think they were all well accepted. I don't think people made any
issue of the changeover
of
when they left.
And the Pioneers certainly didn't.
No.
The Pioneer Club. No, they certainly didn't.
I think there were some. There were some women who, for whom it was a little bit hard.
It could have been.
To accept a woman whose occupation had not been so respectable.
Well, and I could accept them, I know. You know, Christ accepted them.
Well, that's right. That's.
And I can't see that why should we be so different? If he could accept them, we certainly should be.
You know, I've met very few people who have, they don't condone the occupation and while a person is engaged in it, shall we say. But I really have met very few people who criticize a woman who has been occupied.
Well, and if they have, they made no bones of it, and they behaved themselves and made good citizens. Mm-hmm. And when they did marry, they gave up their profession
mm-hmm.
and became solid citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be able to forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm. It is also kind of interesting what has brought women to Alaska in this particular occupation. The individual there, I'm sure there are women who have become involved simply because they enjoyed that type of work, shall we say.
Well,
and there are women who have been required to survive any way they could.
I'm sure that's how they started.
Yes.
They had to survive. They may have had a family to provide for, some children. Maybe they lost their husband and had to get in some kind of work, something to bring them food.
Yes.
So I remember one of the ladies, by that time she had her own house, you know, and she used to go down to the library, what we had as a library at that time. It was past the store. It was down there between H and I. And she stopped then on her way back, and I remarked something about her books. Well, she would say very quietly, very soft-spoken, she said, well, you know, in my business, we have very few cultural how did she put it?
Pastimes.
Right. Cultural activities or something. And so she intimated that she read a great deal. And I know she at that time was not practicing herself, but she had a house of girls.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Were there very, very many houses here that were...
I don't know how many. I couldn't tell you that. I gathered there were... several of them.
Of course, when I came after the war, it didn't exist as not controlled, but centralized. It was,
but they were centralized then, and they were kept you know, they had to see a doctor every, I don't know whether it was once a month or once a week. I really don't remember that part of it. Or if I've even.
But it was a medically regulated.
Yes, it was, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was kept very clean. And I think that was a mistake. Personally, I think Ari made a mistake.
Well, you know, most women seem to think this. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men, too.
Mm-hmm. I really do. I think we... It's now it's so universal that...
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I feel that way. You know, I'm going to have to quit. I have charge of what they call a happy hour here.
Oh, really?
And from 3 to 4 every afternoon, we serve drinks.
Oh, how lovely.
And the ones that can have a bottle... Mm-hmm. Provide their own bottle, put their name on it, it's locked up, and every afternoon it's brought out, and the doctor allows two drinks. And then some of them have wine, some of them can have fruit juices, and a pop. You know.
And you have happy hour.
And we have a happy hour.
From 3 to 4, it's going on, it's quarter of 3.
Uh-huh. And so I have to get ready for it, you know, the card has to be filled with their bottles. And it's rather nice, gives them a little...